Well, the vibes coming out of some ACC hoops this weekend, not so great. NC State losing to Clemson, Duke getting surprised by Miami, but North Carolina got the win over Virginia on Saturday. I actually wanted to start with Duke real quick, because everything that Duke does this season in Coach K's final year is going to be hyper-focused. Totally understand why. And Steve Wiseman of News and Observer actually nailed it right at the jump of his article on Sunday, where this being K's last season and what we expect out of this group, as Gilio likes to say, Coach K didn't come back for any old team. He came back because he thought he could win with these dudes. And based on what we saw early on, there was every indication to believe that they could go pretty far in the NCAA tournament. But COVID happened, okay? And COVID is happening. I mean, I can speak to that personally. I mean, there's a reason why I'm not in the studio today, right? So Omicron's doing its thing. It's affected schedules. It affected Duke during the Christmas break. And in their win against Georgia Tech, you could tell as the game went on that they weren't at 100%. They looked fatigued. They hadn't gotten back into their rhythm. And Mike Krzyzewski was very open about that. Whatever rust was lingering was on display against a better team in Miami. I know that the ACC is currently going through the whole one-bid ACC nonsense on social media, where we've just convinced ourselves that the ACC is not a good basketball conference in relation to everybody else. And I would tell you that there's a lot more like than not when it comes to national college basketball. So Miami's a good squad that's really come into their own now that they're in ACC play, undefeated in ACC play. And you could tell with the sloppy turnovers, I think they had 17 in this game against Miami, that they were still dealing with some effects of the rust. Now, we'll see as the week goes on, as they kind of get back to where they were supposed to be, how they'll look in games, including one against NC State on Saturday. Which gets us to the Wolfpack. Last time we saw NC State going into the weekend, they had theoretically had a nice breakthrough win against Virginia Tech. This was a team, despite the winless stat in the ACC going to Virginia Tech, looked like a team that was competing. Sometimes they would go through a scoring drought. They would bounce back. They'd compete. They'd fight. It was just a matter of them finally breaking through. They did that against Virginia Tech, another team that was dealing with their own COVID pause and having their first game back. The problem is NC State continues to kind of play the same game, and they're going to go through their scoring droughts, whether you like it or not. And while Darian Sebron played a good game, like he typically has been doing this season, Julio, the complementary players, the other guys who need to step up, or like in the case of Taquavion Smith, who had been playing well, did not have a good offensive game against Clemson on Saturday. And even though they competed, they made things interesting at the end with getting to the line and everything else, it was too little too late for them, and they end up taking the loss against the Tigers.
Yeah, Taquavion Smith missed all seven of his three-point attempts. And when Brad Brownell went zone about midway through the second half, the game really ended there. I don't blame Kevin Keats for not bringing Smith back in, but when your shooter's your shooter, you kind of have to have the same short memory that he has. And I think the move there was to bring Smith back in, get Clemson out of the zone. Ultimately, though, NC State couldn't guard P.J. Hall. And that's Clemson's big man. I know it's hard to keep up with everything now. But he had 20 points. He was unstoppable. And this was one of those games where NC State played 5-on-4 for long stretches of the second half in a tight game. And unfortunately, that's kind of where they are in the post right now. Sebron drove on a sequence, threw up an alley-oop like right at the rim. All EB DeWano had to do was flush the thing and couldn't. And I thought that was emblematic of their loss. And Sebron is outstanding, but you just can't do it by yourself. I thought Brad Brownell made some nice moves. I did not think that Kevin Keats countered. I thought this was one of those games where NC State, you know, you try to build off of some momentum or build some momentum from the previous game, but I just didn't see the confidence that I thought I would coming off of that performance against Virginia Tech.
Yeah, and that's what leads to fan apathy, right? You were at the game at PNC Arena on Saturday. I was planning on going to that game, but other things got in the way. And, you know, you had taken a picture of tip-off, and I was like, okay, where is everybody? And I thought it was interesting that the response, that I wasn't bringing the attendance up as some sort of knock on State fans. I would hope that most people understand when I bring up attendance, I bring it up for a reason. And the reason why I brought it up is that those are the types of things that an athletic department will look at when it comes to determining what's going on with the health of a college basketball program. The easiest thing to say is, well, if you win and you put a good product on the floor, then people are going to show up. Well, clearly that's the case, because I thought it was interesting in response to my question of, well, where is everybody, thinking this is an apathy situation. I got some curious responses of, well, COVID, nobody wants to go to games. I'm like, No. That's not it. Because that was a sold out. I mean, I know that PNC Arena is a big gym and Reynolds Coliseum is a small gym, but there's not much different from, you know, 5,500 people all slammed into a small gymnasium versus, you know, 16,000 people or so who show up to PNC Arena. So it's not a COVID issue, because I saw a sold out building against in a top 25 matchup. That makes sense to me. And Friday night at PNC Arena, there was an ounce crowd of just 16,000 plus. That's a team in the NHL that a lot of people have big expectations about. And then Saturday night was the same thing. So don't make an excuse that it's somehow COVID related. It's okay just to say this is a product that a lot of fans don't want to see right now. We saw that play out on Saturday.
NC State fans are at a point with Kevin Keats, but I haven't seen this since Herb Sendick lost in the ACC tournament to Wake Forest in Greensboro. And that the second half of that 2005-06 season just completely fell apart. I don't know how it got to this point, but it's here. And I don't think Boo Corrigan is going to fire Kevin Keats. I don't think Boo Corrigan should fire Kevin Keats. But this is where they are right now. The fan base is completely turned on Kevin Keats, and I don't exactly understand it.
I do. From an accumulation of things, and I think a lot of it has to do with, I think it's a twofold issue. I think one of them is related to the product on the court, and they don't. You mentioned it yourself, adjustments, right? They haven't necessarily seen that, and sometimes you ask the question like, what is your identity? Okay, if this is your identity, why don't we see that more consistently than not? And that's been, I think, the issue for NC State, especially this season. Injury to Manny Bates aside, right? I think the other issue, too, is it's a, well, if we had had X, if we would had this, you know, a guy actually shows up in terms of recruitment. And it's not like Kevin Keats hasn't been able to get recruits. The problem is getting those recruits to actually show up on campus. Now, how much of that was related to IARP and the NCAA? You know what? It's not like NC State's unique in that situation. They're not the only school that has to deal with NCAA issues looming over them. Why did it affect NC State this particular way? So I think those things tie into why there has been the reaction with Kevin Keats in year five. And I think the other factor, and that I'm thinking about it, has to do with what's going on at Carolina, and it has to do with what's going on at Duke. They see a window of opportunity with a changing of Hall of Fame coaches. And I said when Roy Williams retired, and when that was followed up with Mike Krzyzewski's retirement, the biggest pressure in the triangle wasn't going to be on Hubert Davis or John Shire. The biggest pressure was going to be on Kevin Keats to take that next step while they could be, you know, fumbling the coaching decisions over at Duke and UNC. So I think that also plays into what we're seeing with State fans.